Before we read the lesson today, I want to give you a little bit of a prelude. We're in the second week of our five-week focus on the Gospel of John and on bread. Last week, we heard the most famous of the feeding stories, the multiplication of the five loaves and the two fish. We talked about how God didn't just feed the people, but fed them abundantly. In God's hands, even a little bit is more than enough. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus completes a miracle or a sign, he will always explain it to the people. And today's text is an explanation of the feeding of the 5,000. The miracles that Jesus performs don't always have meaning into themselves, but they always point to something bigger. And the people don't understand, so they ask questions, but Jesus doesn't answer the questions. Instead, Jesus points them again to something even bigger, something really important. And what's really important today is that it is Jesus who is the bread of life. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe in you? What works are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In May, 17-year-old Antoine Rose was killed by police during a traffic stop in Arnold City, Pennsylvania. Peaceful protesters filled the streets afterwards. In June, the mayor of Arnold City suggested on Facebook that water cannons be used on the peaceful protesters. She included a 1963 picture of Birmingham firefighters blasting young demonstrators with water. She said, "We need one of those water cannons." This mayor has now apologized, but has refused to resign, and the issue is at the state level. Birmingham Mayor Randall Woodfin sent a letter in response to that Facebook post. In the letter, he tells her that her comment seems to have been a deliberate misrepresentation of the purpose of the 1963 peaceful demonstrations in Birmingham. He says those peaceful demonstrations, in the oppressive manner in which the city government of the time chose to respond to them, brought about an end to segregation in Birmingham. Mayor Woodfin told her that she doesn't understand the importance of peaceful demonstrations in ending segregation. She doesn't understand the history. An even more recent Birmingham news column mentioned the 1956 beating of Nat King Cole on stage in Birmingham. A reader commented, "Way to go. Stir the pot with things that people alive today had nothing to do with." The reader is claiming that history is not relevant to us today. These are very, very recent examples of both ignoring and misunderstanding history. Should we remember and understand our history, both the good and the bad, the history of our families, of Birmingham, of this nation and the world? Google, "Why should I learn history?" and you'll come up with a plethora of reasons. The American History Association claims history helps us understand people and societies. It contributes to moral understanding. It provides identity and is essential for good stewardship. Learning history also increases our ability to assess evidence, conflicting interpretations, and past examples of change. Unfortunately, we so often try to separate ourselves from the past. Forget about it. Claim that it is no longer relevant. Or if we do remember it, we don't take the time to struggle with it. Try to understand the importance of it for us, and then to let the past shape our lives today. What about us as Christians? Should we learn and remember the story of God? Remember both the wilderness and what God has done in the wilderness? Should the story of God shape our lives today? In our Exodus reading this morning, the people of Israel are only 6 weeks into their 40-year journey. They're hungry and they're thirsty, and it's painful now. Faced with their current wilderness, they don't remember the slavery and the mistreatment at the hands of Pharaoh. They also don't remember how God led them from bondage into freedom. But God calls them to remember. God's response to their wilderness was grace. God led them out of the wilderness and now gives them food. Most importantly, God gives them life. The story of manna is referenced in the Bible over and over. Does the story of God feeding the Israelites in the wilderness have any relevance on our lives today? Do we really need to remember it? Jesus thinks so. After being fed with the little boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5,000 plus people follow Jesus across the sea. But they follow him for the wrong reason. They follow Jesus because he has fed them once. Jesus tells them that they don't understand what just happened. Multiplying the loaves and the fish isn't the point. The miracle, the sign, points to something else, something far more important. The sign points to Jesus. It is Jesus who is the bread of life. As the bread of life, Jesus doesn't just satisfy our physical hunger, but Jesus satisfies our deepest hungers. Our hunger to not only have enough, but to be enough. Jesus offers us a relationship and urges us to trust in that relationship. Trust that God will satisfy not only the daily hungers of life, but also the deepest needs of life. Trusting that we can live now in the unending presence of God. You may remember a book called The Help, which is by Catherine Stockett. In the book, there's a maid who takes care of a little girl. And over and over and over, the maid repeats to the girl, "You is smart, you is kind, you is important." Over and over, the little girl heard it. And when that maid was driven away, that little girl remembered. She remembered that she was smart and kind and important. But what she really remembered was that she was loved. Jesus does the same thing today. Jesus says, "I am the bread." Jesus tells the crowd to not only remember the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, don't just remember that you had a meal one day and your physical hunger was satisfied. Instead, remember that God gave you manna from heaven, not just food, but life to the Israelites, even in the wilderness, eternal life, eternal love, now. We too need to actively remember. As I said, the story of manna doesn't appear in our Bible or our lectionary just once. The little girl didn't hear that she was smart, kind, and important only once. We can't hear the story just once. We're called to reflect on it and try to understand it, to pray about it, to talk about it in community, to teach the story to our children over and over again, and then to let that story shape our lives. We're to remember our times in the wilderness, even when they look like water cannons. We're to remember hunger and thirst and endless wanderings. We're to remember the wrongs that we've done, the times we've broken the commandments, forgotten that all goodness comes from God, felt like we're not important, and hurt others. But then we are to remember the goodness and the grace which God has given us over and over again. Perhaps like many of us, a pastor friend of mine had a wilderness period in his life, and he questioned whether he should remain a pastor. He didn't think that he was enough. One Sunday morning, he shared his wilderness with his congregation in a sermon, and then he used a kudzu cartoon as an illustration. And hopefully some of you remember the kudzu cartoons. In the cartoon, the Reverend Will Be Done was at a table. And on that table was a toaster. And he was talking to God. And he said, "I'm not sure about my ministry to domesticated animals. If only I had a sign." And just then a burnt piece of toast popped up out of the toaster. And the Reverend Will Be Done said, "It ain't no burning bush, but I'll take what I can get." 2 days later, in the mail, my friend received from one of his supporters a burnt piece of toast, neatly wrapped in a Ziploc bag. This pastor still has that burnt piece of toast in his freezer some 14 years later. He and his congregation continue to thrive in ministry together. That burnt piece of toast, every time he opens his freezer, causes him to remember. Remember the wilderness that he was in. But most importantly, remember that God was there in that wilderness and how he then let that wilderness shape his life. God's grace and goodness were indeed abundant to him. When we are in the wilderness, when we don't know what to do, when we're worried about where God is, this remembering becomes even more critical. Sometimes it is really, really, really hard to remember on our own. We desperately need the community of God's people around us to help us see. So today, I give thanks for the people who sent my friend the burnt piece of toast. I give thanks for people like Mayor Woodfin who nudge us to help remember the past correctly. I give thanks for Sunday school teachers, VBS leaders, small group leaders, parents, grandparents, friends who tell us and told us the story over and over. I give thanks for this congregation who will help us remember our history, to see how God has been faithful and life-giving, but then also to let go and let history shape our future. To remember is to see God's grace.